Chapter 3. The Parisians. A night after the Battle of Waterloo in June 1815, a robber quietly stole money and jewelry from the bodies of dead soldiers on the battlefield. In the moonlight, he saw a hand with a gold ring on its finger. As he took the ring, the hand grabbed his jacket. He pulled the body from the pile of other dead bodies to find a French officer who was still alive. "Thank you for saving my life. What is your name?" asked the officer.
"Thénardier,"
replied the robber. "I'll never forget your name," said the officer. "And you must remember mine. My name is Pontmercy." Then the robber took the man's watch and wallet and disappeared. The officer, whose name was Georges Pontmercy, had a son named Marius. Marius, whose mother had died, lived with his grandfather, a very wealthy man named Monsieur Gillenormand. But Monsieur Gillenormand hated his son-in-law Marius's father. After Georges Pontmercy recovered from his injury, Monsieur Gillenormand paid him to stay away from his son. Pontmercy accepted the offer because he wanted his son to have a good life. For years, Monsieur Gillenormand told Marius his father was a bad man. But when Marius turned 17, he learned the truth that his father had been a brave soldier. Marius searched for his father, but by the time he found him, he had died. All Marius received from his father was a letter. "To my son. My life was saved at Waterloo by a man named Monsieur Thénardier. I believe he manages a small inn in the village of Montfermeil near Paris. If you ever find this man, I want you to help him however you can." When Monsieur Gillenormand found out that Marius was visiting his father's grave, they had a big argument. Then Monsieur Gillenormand made Marius leave his house. For the following 3 years, Marius lived in a small room in an old building on the outskirts of Paris. Coincidentally, it was the same room that Valjean and Cosette had lived in 8 years earlier. Marius made little money, but it was enough to survive. His grandfather often tried to send him money, but he refused it. Marius hated his grandfather for the cruel way he had treated his father. Marius was a handsome young man, but he was very shy. He lived a quiet life of studying, writing, and taking daily walks. Sometimes on his walks, Marius noticed an elderly man and a young girl who always sat on the same bench in the Luxembourg Gardens. The girl was 13 or 14 and always wore the same black dress, but what Marius noticed were her lovely blue eyes. For some reason, Marius stopped going to the Luxembourg Gardens. When he returned 1 year later, they were in the same place. The only difference was that the thin girl of a year earlier had become a beautiful young woman. She had soft brown hair, smooth pale skin, deep blue eyes, and a gorgeous smile. One day as she passed, their eyes met, and he felt that his life would never be the same. He began to watch the old man and the girl every day. He followed them so much that the old man started to become suspicious of him and began coming to the gardens less frequently, sometimes without the girl. When the old man and girl stopped visiting the gardens, Marius became depressed. So he tried to find out where they lived. Finally, he learned they lived in a small house at the end of a street named Rue de l'Equest. Marius began to follow them home and watch them through their lighted window. When he caught a glimpse of the girl, his heart began to beat faster. On the 8th night of coming to the house, the lights in the windows were out. When he saw this, he knocked on their neighbor's door and asked where they were.
"They've moved out," said the neighbor.
Then the neighbor slammed the door in Marius's face. Summer and fall passed, and Marius did not see the old man or the young girl whom he had fallen in love with. Depressed, he wandered the streets like a lost puppy. Without the young woman, life seemed meaningless to him. Then one day, Marius found a packet of 4 letters near his room. When he read the letters, he saw that they were supposedly written by 4 different people. Yet they were all written by the same hand. They stank of cheap tobacco, and they were all asking for money. The next morning, there was a knock on Marius's door. When he opened it, he saw a thin, sick-looking girl who was missing some teeth. She was his next-door neighbor's daughter. She gave him a letter from her father.
Dear neighbor, I kindly remember how you paid my rent 6 months ago. But now my wife is sick, and none of us have eaten in 4 days. Please show us your generosity and kindness one more time. Yours truly, Monsieur Jondrette.
Marius realized that the handwriting and cheap tobacco smell was the same as the letters he had found the night before. All of them were from the poor family in the next room. He had never paid attention to the Jondrettes in the months they had been his neighbors, but now he realized Monsieur Jondrette's business was writing dishonest letters that asked for money from people who he thought were wealthier than him. While Marius was reading the letter, the girl watched him. Then she moved closer to him and put her cold hand on his shoulder.
You know, Monsieur Marius, you're a very handsome boy. You never notice me, but I see you looking lonely all the time.
I think I have something of yours,
Marius said, moving away from her touch. He handed her the parcel of 4 letters that he had found.
Oh, yes. I've been looking all over for these.
Taking out one of the letters, she said.
This one's for the old man who goes to church every day. If I hurry, I'll be able to catch him on the street. He might give me enough for dinner.
Marius took a coin from his pocket and handed it to the girl.
Aha!
She cried.
That's enough money to eat for 2 days. You're an angel, Monsieur Marius.
Then she laughed, grabbed a piece of dried bread from Marius's table, and left. Marius realized that although he lived on little money, he had not known what it meant to be poor until he had become acquainted with this miserable family in the next room. As he was thinking about this desperate family, he noticed a small triangular hole in the corner of the wall that separated his room from theirs. He decided to observe them. Marius stood on a cupboard and put his eye to the hole. The Jondrette's room was filthy and foul-smelling, unlike Marius's bare, clean dwelling. The only furniture was a broken table, a chair, and 2 dirty beds. There were a few cracked plates on the table. There, an old man sat smoking a pipe and writing a letter. A large woman with graying hair that was once red sat next to the fireplace, and a thin, sickly-looking girl sat on one of the beds. Marius was depressed by what he saw. Marius was going to stop looking when suddenly the girl who had come to his room bounded through the Jondrette's door.
He's coming!
She cried happily.
Who's coming?
Asked the father.
The old man who goes to church with his daughter every day. I saw them on the street and he's coming. I ran ahead to tell you. They'll be here in 2 minutes.
Good girl,
said Monsieur Jondrette.
Quickly, put out the fire.
The girl poured water on the fire while Monsieur Jondrette broke the chair with his foot. He told his younger daughter to break the window. The girl put her fist through the glass and cut her arm very badly. She ran to the bed covered in blood.
Great. The more miserable we look, the more money the kind gentleman will give us.
Then there came a knock at the door. Monsieur Jondrette opened the door, bowing almost to the floor. The old man and the young girl entered the room. Marius was in shock. It was the old man from the park. It was the young girl he had fallen in love with. The old man handed Monsieur Jondrette a package. Here are some warm clothes and blankets for your family.
Thank you, sir. As you can see, we are without food or heat. My wife is very sick, and my daughter injured her arm at the factory where she works.
The young girl who had hurt her arm screamed with pain. The kind old man took a coin from his pocket and put it on the table.
5 francs is all I have right now. I'll come back later this evening with some more money for you.
After they left, Marius tried to leave his room to follow them. He had to know where the beautiful young girl lived, but the Jondrette girl was back at his door. She came into his room.
What do you want?
He asked, annoyed with her.
You were kind to us this morning. Now I want to be kind to you.
She said in a very suggestive manner.
I want to do something for you.
Marius thought for a moment.
Do you know the address of the old man and girl who just visited your home?
She looked disappointed, but said,
No, but I can find out if you wish.
The Jondrette girl left, and Marius found himself overcome by emotion for the mysterious young girl. Then he heard Monsieur Jondrette's voice coming through the hole in the wall. He jumped back on the cupboard and listened.
Are you sure it was them?
Asked Madame Jondrette.
I'm sure I recognized both of them. It's been 8 years, but I'm sure.
Her?
Said Madame Jondrette. Her voice was filled with hatred.
You must be wrong. That child was ugly, but this girl is nice looking.
I'm telling you, she's the same one,
said Monsieur Jondrette.
And they're going to bring us lots of money again. When that old man comes back at 6 o'clock, I'll have a gang of friends here to make sure he gives us all of his money. Or he won't leave this room walking on 2 legs.
Then Monsieur Jondrette let out an ugly laugh. Marius knew he had to save the old man and the young girl he loved. He went to the nearest police station and asked to speak to the chief.
He's away, said a policeman. I'm the next in charge. My name is Inspector Javert. What do you want?
Marius told the inspector about Jondrette's diabolical plan. When Javert heard the address, his eyes lit up. He gave Marius a small gun.
When you hear trouble starting, shoot this out your window. I'll be nearby waiting for this signal to come in with my men.
Back in his room, Marius waited nervously. On the other side of the wall, Monsieur Jondrette readied a metal bar in the fire and a long, sharp knife. He put a rope ladder out his window in case they needed to make a quick escape. At exactly 6 o'clock, the door opened, and the old man entered. He put 4 coins on the table.
That is for your rent and food. Now, what else do you need?
After a few minutes of small talk, Monsieur Jondrette called in his friends. 3 men armed with metal poles rushed into the room. The old man picked up the broken chair, ready to fight. Marius prepared to fire his pistol.
Don't you recognize me?
Monsieur Jondrette asked the old man.
No, the old man replied.
My real name isn't Jondrette. It's Thénardier. Now, do you know me?
The old man trembled. Upon hearing the name Thénardier, Marius almost fell from the cupboard he was standing on. It was the name of the man who had saved his father's life. Suddenly, he could not fire the gun to call the detectives as he had planned.
8 years ago, you took Cosette away from us. She was bringing us lots of money. You're the cause of all our problems.
You're just a dirty criminal, said the old man.
You think I'm a criminal? I saved an officer's life at the Battle of Waterloo. I'm going to teach you a lesson.
The old man tried to jump out the window, but the 3 men held him down. Marius did not know what to do. Thénardier pulled out his long knife. He was preparing to kill the old man. But suddenly the door burst open and Inspector Javert appeared with 15 policemen. They began to arrest everybody in the room. Amid the confusion, the old man managed to escape out of the window. He was gone before they noticed him missing.